listen so that you can hear. Take notes if you need. If that's part of your learning, take notes. But then go back and go over them. Because this, you'd never, we all know in our brain that we don't hear it all the first time. Amen? This is why do we coach? Why do we go to ball practice? If you are a baseball player, don't you go to baseball practice before you go to the game? Why? So that you can learn and you can grow and you can mature and you can work those muscles. Amen? So I know that I'm not going to share anything with you that you don't already know. But is it what you're working with? Right? Because see, as I speak, as I share the word of God, Christ in you is going to go. Exactly. You're going to have these light bulb moments as you hear the word of God. And there's a part of you that's going to go, I think I knew that. That's right. That's what the word says. That's Christ in you. Christ in you. The word of God living and abiding in you. But we're here to stir that up. We're here to stir that faith, stir that word, and bring it up so that out of our mouth we speak and we live and we breathe what God wants us to do. Does that make sense? So this week we're going to start a new series, and I'm not 100% sure how I'm going to land this. I don't know how we're going to land it today, and that's for sure. But we're going to start a new series, and it's all about the harvest. I don't know what I'm going to title it exactly yet. I'll ask the Holy Spirit. He'll give me a pretty title for the whole thing. But I want you, we're going to start with this. I want you to think about this just for a second here. The harvest you're in right now, how would you describe it? Just in two or three words, and to yourself, write it down. How would you describe, okay, so some of you are looking at me like you're not sure what a harvest is. What's going on in your life right now? Is it good? Is it rejoiceful, or is it the stuff that's happening? Is it good stuff? Is it bad? Is it frustrating? Is there love, joy, peace, or is there frustration and anger and unworthiness or fear or uncertainty? What's in your harvest right now? So now that you're looking at the harvest you have, what harvest do you want down the road? See, we told you about announcements because we want you to know there's an opportunity coming down the road that you can hear the Word of God or be involved in the Word of God or be involved in the things of Christ, the things that God's doing in our city and all around the world. There's an opportunity. And so there's a harvest over here, and we want to plant seed for your harvest so that when you get there, it's a good harvest. And so we're going to begin to open up the scripture and find out a few things about harvest, about what is a harvest, how do we get a harvest, do we have a good harvest, is it a bad harvest, does it always have to be a frustrating harvest? See, we could use another word you could use is season. There's a season. For everything, there is a season. There's a season. Well, we're going into a harvest season in our culture. But do you realize that whatever harvest you have right now, whatever's going on in your life right now, somebody or something sowed seed into that, and that's what's producing. Does that make sense? So, well, let me give you some scriptures. You might as well write them down. We're gonna take some time. I'm not going to get in a hurry in this series, okay? I know I'm going to create some questions in this week and probably next week and maybe even a third week just creating questions so that we can start getting some answers. Our first scripture is Romans 12:2. It's very, very well known here. This is the reason we're starting here is to look, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The challenge is that we're not being conformed to think and to act and to do and to be like everybody around us, like the world. Let me put it that way, the world. Because we're going to begin to see the difference between the harvest of the world and the harvest of God's people. We need to begin to see why isn't there a good harvest in our lives? Why isn't there the good harvest? This says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's a key scripture. We're going to circle that a little more. Now go with me to Galatians chapter 6. And a lot of this is going to come out of Galatians in the first week or two as we look at this passage. It's not new to anybody, so you got to listen. You got to have a willingness to hear what the Spirit of God is telling you right here, right now in this passage. Do not, Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Now, does anybody know what the word deceived means? Fooled. Now, how many of y'all know that if you're deceived, the very definition of it is you don't know it? So, if the Bible, God's Word, says do not be deceived, there must be a way to not be deceived, and there must be a way for us to what? Be deceived. So what is in your life to help you not be deceived? What is in your life to not be deceived? Now I heard somebody say the Word. Yes, the Word. What else? Because how many of y'all know Paul wrote this to the church? He didn't write this to a filthy, rotten, stinking sinner that didn't show up to hear the Word of God. He wrote this to the people of God who are wanting to mature, who are wanting to grow, who are wanting to fulfill the call of God on their life. And he said, do not be deceived. Write this down. If there's not people in your life that can speak the truth in love to you, I assure you, you are deceived. I'll be easy with it. I could brush my teeth, and I could go somewhere. I can eat or drink something and turn around and have horrendous breath. And I could be deceived not knowing that I have horrendous breath. But it's my friends that go, would you like a mint? Do you see this? Do you see it? I'm trying to just keep it very simple, okay? But people around you who can say, yo, wait a minute. Where did you get that idea? Could you show me that in the Word? See, deceived means we don't know something. We're on the wrong track. It could be a very bad deception, or it could just be a light deception. It could just be a very beginning point. If you have people in your life, and listen, I'll be the first to admit, I don't let everybody speak into my life. I used to. I used to just take it from anybody and everybody, and I had to shut that down, especially being in politics. Holy cow. There's people that got all kinds of opinions. But do you know who I want to know from? I want to know from God, but you know what? I want to know from God who's living in Heather. Christ in Heather can speak the truth in love to me. She's the closest one. Then there's others. Pastor Mark, there's many of you that I need you and I want you to be able to speak the truth in love to me. I may not like it. If you'll give me room to digest, if you'll give me room to go, okay, I probably need to repent. This is going to be humbling. Could you just leave me alone for a minute so I could do that? Am I making sense? Okay. So number one is do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now we know this. We know this. We know this. We know this. And yet he led with do not be deceived. So there's got to be something in here that we can know more better. Does that make sense? So let's read on. Next verse, please. For he who sows, now this is going to be a key word here, sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Now we know in our mind, whatever you do or whatever you sow, you reap. And we say it around here often, if you sow stupid, you'll get stupid, right? If you sow fear, you'll reap fear. Still not connecting. How many of y'all know that if I take an apple seed and I sow it in the ground, out of the ground comes an apple? Wrong. I'm deceived. I literally get a potential lifetime supply of apple from one seed. But who has to sow the seed? Okay, so this is when we start looking at our harvest. If your harvest, if your field, if you're standing in the middle of an apple field and you don't like apples, why do you have this? How long will you continue to take care of these apple trees? I'm trying to keep it simple, but y'all know I'm not talking about apples and I'm talking about the stupid stuff we do. All right? I'm talking about the things that frustrate us. If I don't like, oh, really, Lord, I got to use that one? If I don't like being upset with Heather, but I have a harvest of being frustrated with Heather, how many of y'all know, how did I get there? Now, yes, Heather may have sown one or two seeds, but any man knows, and any woman knows, that I sowed the bulk of that seed. Okay? All right. This is going to land here. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. You need to underline this. Will of the flesh. Not from God, but from your flesh. If you sow dumb seed from your flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. That's why when I ask you, do you have joy, peace, love, great? See, some people think, well, it's all up to God. God's doing it. No, I'm going to show you. Look at this. Look, keep reading. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And here's the phrase that everybody likes to tell me right there. Wait a minute. I got God in my life. I still got all this junk. I got God in my life. Okay. Good. That's a start. You have God in your life. I'm trying not to be mean, but I'm going to be honest. Look at what it says here. For he who sows to the flesh of the flesh, not from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. God is not creating problems. He's not cooperating with problems. He's not waiting for problems to get your attention. He's not doing that. If you belong to him, if you've come out of the kingdom of darkness and you belong in the kingdom of light, see, and that's part of what we're going to have to learn here. A lot of people could tell me what you got delivered from, but most people have no idea what you've been delivered to. Many people come out of darkness, they come out of bondage, and I'll keep it simple, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We'll just keep it general. We get delivered from all the crud in our lives, and we are placed into the kingdom of his son, and we just sit and wait until someday when we all get to heaven, what a day it will be. We wait and we sit and we wait and we know that one day Jesus is going to open up the sky and he's going to yank us all out of here so that we don't have to endure any more of this. But in the meantime, we're sowing to our flesh. Because notice here it says you either sow to your flesh, which from your flesh you will reap corruption, or you sow to the Spirit, which from the Spirit you reap everlasting life. And those of you who have been with me for any length of time, you've already in your spirit heard what? John 17:3. If you didn't hear John 17:3 already, you might be deceived. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help us connect dots in our life. This says that if you sow, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Put John 17:3 on the screen for me. If you don't have a revelation of John 17:3, you need a revelation of John 17:3. John 17:3 will transform your entire life when it comes from within, where you know what everlasting life is. Everlasting life is not out there in someday land. It is right here. Look at this. And this is eternal life. That they, Jesus is talking about us, that we may know you, that's God, because Jesus is talking to God. This is Jesus' prayer. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is all, eternal life is about knowing God. Knowing him, not just I know of him, not just kind of, yep, I know, yep, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, yep, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, yep, Jehovah, no, knowing, intimate. Please don't make me explain all that. We do marriage conferences on that. Look here. When you get a revelation of what eternal life is, go back to Galatians 6. Then you can begin to understand that if you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you reap everlasting life. Can you see this? Do we really believe and understand that we have a choice? We're going to look at sowing and reaping, and I need you to begin to understand that sowing and reaping is it's a law of God. It's an eternal law of God, and it works whether you're saved or not. Okay, it's kind of like gravity. Okay, but when you begin to understand, and we've spent a number of weeks about talking about living in our promises and living in the promises of God, and in faith school we're learning about the promised land and how the children of Israel did not go in that first generation. They had a chance to go into the promised land. And so when you connect these dots, I need you to understand that, thank you, Holy Spirit. Our promised land as new believers is the kingdom of God. Our promised land is the kingdom of God. But knowing the promises of God and how they work is now what has to begin to unfold in our life. See, we're taken out of bondage, a type of Egypt. It says we're taken out of sin. Let me give you that passage before I forget. We're going to come, keep your finger in Galatians 6. We're not done there. We will be back in there momentarily. I got quite a bit more I want to cover in there. But let me give you, hang on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to keep on track. Let's go back to Galatians 6. Let's stay there just for a minute. Galatians 6. Let's look at verse 9. We looked at verse 8. Let's look at verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Okay, so back up one verse. Let's look at it and let's read it together. Verse 8 and 9. We're going to read it all together. I'm going to read it. You're going to hear it. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9. And let us, now notice this is a choice. So we actually have a number of choices on the table right now. First, our choice to not be deceived. It's a choice to not be deceived. When you're deceived, your first choice was you probably don't have somebody who could speak the truth to you in love. You've pushed everybody away, they're all wrong, and you're the only one right. And that's why you're deceived. That's just cold truth right there. I love you. How many of y'all love me still? Do you love me still? Are we with me? All right. So, let us not grow weary while doing good. Let us not grow weary while doing good, For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See, a harvest, a couple of things that have to happen, and unfortunately this is a tough one, in our microwave society, we want everything in 3 minutes or less. And we want it now. And we're, unfortunately, people are willing to pay big bucks for stuff that's just right now. Amazon, McDonald's, everything. Quick, easy. That very concept is different than what we have right here. He says, do not grow weary while doing good. I know that if I came in here and started talking to some of you about sowing and reaping, and I gave you a list of all the things not to do, many of you can go, yep, don't do that. Yep, don't do that. Yep, don't do that. Yep, don't do that. And you'd be like, I don't understand the problem, Pastor. My harvest is terrible. I've got a terrible harvest. I don't like peas. They go on like a vine, right? I don't want to misspeak there. Peas are on a vine. Is that right? Somebody help me. See, that shows you how much I like peas, right? I don't even want to know how to grow those suckers. But we were talking about apples a while ago. You take one apple seed. You don't get just an apple out of the ground. You get a tree that in time it produces apples. But there is a lot of what? Time. See, time can be an enemy or it could be a friend. In this series, we're going to learn, not today, but do you know that I think a major problem in a lot of us right here, because you're the only ones here. If you didn't get here, you're not watching, I can't help you. But how many of us have not made patience a friend? Patience is a friend. Is patience a friend? Do you embrace patience? It's a fruit of the Spirit. We'll get to that. I'll show it to you. You know it. But how many of us, exactly, is right there with it. A lot of us, we don't know what it means to be patient. But see, if you want a harvest, I'm not talking about a tree. I mean, just a tree. But a big field. An orchard, there you go. You want a whole crop. What's a circle of corn? Is it a circle? A pivot of corn. If you want a pivot of corn, sweet corn, because that's what we want, right? Am I right? If you want sweet corn, it takes seed. It takes time. And in time, there is a whole lot. We'll open up time another week. We don't have time today. Right now, I just need you to understand and begin to look at the harvest you have and go, wait a minute, is this the harvest I want? I don't enjoy this harvest, so why do I have this harvest? Why did God do this to me? God's not doing it to you. That's what I need you to understand. Go back to Galatians 6. The first part says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever, what does that say? Whatever a man, that's not just mankind, it's all mankind. It's not a man as in male, it's male or female. Whatever a person, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. And that's why I said, if I gave you a list of things to don't do, because that's kind of what we do with our children. We raise them up and we tell them, well, don't do that. Don't do that. We don't do that in the Sheets house. We don't do that. We don't do that. I need us to get to the stage of what do we do? We need to start knowing what we do do. What are we responsible to do? We've got to break loose of this. Well, it must be God. No. We've been learning for years now that Jesus came to give us life, John 10:10, and life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If the thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, where are you in that? Who are you receiving from? Where did you get your seed? What seed are you getting? See, if you have apple, a harvest, a field, what's the other word I was looking for, a crop? If you have a crop of apples and you like Granny Smith apples because you really like a good fresh apple pie, okay? But think about all that. You don't just go to the store. You don't walk into Dollar General and you start picking, oh, okay, let's get that seed right there. And you just grab some seeds and go throw it in the ground and hope you get Granny Smith apples. No. You do a little research. You find out who has it. Probably you don't go to the dollar store. I'm not against the dollar store. But, okay, let's go to the dollar store because it's a lot cheaper. But when you go there, you at least try to get a name brand. You try to get a brand that you trust. How many of y'all know King James is a pretty good brand? New Living, pretty good brand. Greek and Hebrew, pretty good brand. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Notice I didn't say the Nearly Inspired version. Sorry, truth and love again. All right, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And from if he sows of his flesh, from the flesh he reaps corruption. Look at the next part. He who sows, still the man who sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit he reaps everlasting life. But how do we do that? What does sowing to the Spirit look like? We know that to have everlasting life means relationship with God. So what are we sowing to have a relationship with God so that we can have a harvest that we want? Now, we're going to get to why people want to manipulate harvest. And we're gonna put an end to that in a real hurry. Okay? We're not going to get there today because I'm not going to teach you. We're not talking about manipulating a harvest. We're talking about planting seed so that you have a good harvest. What harvest do you want? Do you understand that God has a good harvest for you? But you have to sow the seed. You have to water the earth. You have to cultivate the ground before you can water that seed. Before you can even plant the seed in there, you got to get the ground prepared. Mark chapter 4 talks about the ground. It's our heart. What condition is our heart? We might have to spend a little time in that upcoming. Let me ask another question here. Is our current harvest everlasting life, or is it fear, doubt, and unbelief? Are we actually in a harvest right now? Only you know. Is what in your life, is it from the Lord and from your relationship with God? Now, don't lose me here. Or are you trying to justify your harvest by saying it's leading me to the Lord? Because I'm going to show you in a couple scriptures, your bad stuff wasn't done by God to lead you to Him. The bad stuff that's going on in your life is from the enemy, from the powers of darkness, and unfortunately, I love you, but it comes from people or through people, and you've gotten seed that is a bad harvest and you don't like it. And you're trying to justify it by going, well, I'm learning something. I'm going through this. Okay, I know Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Who created the shadow of death? It wasn't God. It wasn't God. He is not up in heaven going, okay, I know. Oh, man, I'm not picking on any of y'all. Y'all know where I live. Hallelujah. We, We God is not up in heaven going, okay, I know if they'll do this, this, and this, then this will happen, and then they'll turn to me. That's manipulation. That's manipulation. And God is not manipulating anyone. He's given us choice. He said way back, and I didn't pull it, but we could get it another time. I set before you life or death. Which do you choose? Choose life or choose death? That is an option, a choice that we have. So I'll ask you again, is your harvest, is it a harvest that is from eternal life, from your relationship with God? Or is it, or you think it's going to lead you to a relationship with God? Because if you think your harvest is going to lead you to a relationship with God, you are deceived. The devil doesn't bring you bad things to get you closer to God. God doesn't let bad things happen so that you trust him. We would put parents in jail if they did that. We would go, oh, that's a terrible parent. And yet God gets a lot of blame for this stupid stuff. Is that making sense? No. So here it is. And I know this is a good place where you're going, could you show me that in the scripture? I'm glad you asked. Because if your circumstances, your harvest, you think is going to lead you to the Lord, you're following the wrong harvest. And it's up to us to get out of that field and get a new field, a new harvest coming. And that means we got to stir up some ground. We got to pull some weeds. We got to, Romans 12:2, we got to change the way we think. And we start aligning with what God's word says, even over some things that we've been taught in religious circles. Does that make sense? All right. Now, here's scripture number one to find out who's leading you. John 14:26. This is Jesus talking. Can't get more clear than this. John 14:26. I believe I gave it to him. There it is. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. You know what's not going to teach me patience? A nagging wife. There's Proverbs on that. Proverbs says go live on the rooftop. It's better. I'm picking on me. But if I just think, oh, well, I'll be patient with her and I'll learn patience. Somebody's deceived. Does that make sense? This says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So there's one scripture that says, what your harvest is not to be leading you to God. Your harvest should come from your relationship with God. Whatever harvest you want, and we'll get to that, but whatever harvest you have right now, be honest with yourself. And if you think this harvest is going to lead you to God, then that means that harvest had to come from him first, a relationship with him. And if it's flesh, Galatians 6 says, he didn't have nothing to do with that. That's on you. You sow to your flesh, therefore from your flesh you will reap corruption. I know that's strong. Let me give you another verse before you run me off. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. A couple of scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and a few of them are profitable for doctrine. It's not what all it says, is it? It says all scripture. That means from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:20, I believe. Sometimes I dyslexia that in there, but I think it's 22:20 at the end of Revelation. They're all given by God, by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. So we all like that one. Church people like that one. But keep reading. We want the full gospel. For reproof, most of us don't even have a clue what reproof is. Ask your neighbor, what is reproof? Do I need reproof? Okay, come on now. For correction. Oh, you thought that was just reproof? Then why do you use two different words? For reproof, for correction. Now here's one everybody misses. For instruction in righteousness. The word of God was given to us so that we would have instructions to walk in righteousness, which is right standing with God. That's what the word of God is for, not your dumb harvest. My harvest of peas is not going to make me love God more because I don't like them, because I'm going to quit sowing seeds for peas. Does that make sense? Instruction in righteousness. Okay, next verse. That the man of God, that's all of us, man or woman, it's not just man of God may be, what is that word? Complete. Are we afraid to be complete? Are you afraid to be complete? See, the enemy would like us to go, well, you know, you're not that good. You can't be that good. So what? Take out, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, this is why we've got to understand more about our harvest, more about what we're sowing, how we're sowing, the land we're sowing it in, the ground, the water. This is a big one. This is not a one and done message. I'm telling you, you're going to have to keep coming back for us to open this up. But I need you for this week. I'm just giving you a few scriptures and you need to go back in. You've got to meditate on them. You've got to let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because we just read a scripture that says the Holy Spirit will teach you. Now, Christ in me is giving you the word. I'm delivering the word. I'm trying to plant the word. But Apollos watered. And God brings the increase. And we're going to figure out what all that means. You stick with me. Did I finish my passage? Every equipped. Okay. Equipped for every good work. All right. Another verse to help you understand about your harvest. Did it come from God or from your relationship with God? Or do you think your harvest is just leading you to God? Because if your harvest is, again, if your harvest, you think, oh, this is going to lead me to God, you're deceived. You're something's wrong. You got to make a change. Odds are that you don't need that harvest. Odds are that's a lot of flesh. Okay? What was my next scripture? Hebrews 6:11-12. Hebrews 6:11-12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence and full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. If we want the promises of God, they're going to come through faith and patience. Not from rubbing a genie. Not from three Hail Marys. Not from anything else. Faith and patience will get you your promised land. I was very encouraged. I was sharing with one of the young men. I won't say his name, but... well, I will. It was Jaden. He left. We'll find out if we'll do a call out. We'll see if he was listening to this message. I was very encouraged. I shared with him how I went into Mexico and had a great time there. And he goes, well, yeah, I heard you went, and you only two of you went. You didn't take no 10 deadhead spies. Yeah. He was listening. He was listening. Because round one, remember, 12 spies went in and only two decided to sow seed into a harvest that was from God. The other 10 leaders in the church did not receive seed from God. They received seed from the world, and it was unbelief, and they sowed unbelief, and they had a harvest of unbelief. They had 40 years of stupid that could have been avoided. That's why it's important that we go to a good church. That's why it's important that we gather together as the body of Christ. That's why it's important that we build one another up. That's why it's important that we're able to speak the truth in love. That's why if we want a harvest for our friends, our family, our community, our country, Galatians 6 says, the man or woman who sows to his flesh, this will be their harvest, corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit, they will have everlasting life. So as we begin to understand the difference between our sowing and our reaping, I think I had one more verse about your harvest to show you that it's not your circumstances that are supposed to lead you to the Lord. It's not your circumstances that are supposed to make you pray more. You need out of that field. You do not need that crop. That is not good corn. What's a bad corn that we could grow, but we don't want to eat it as people? Who? Feed corn. There you go. We do not want to eat feed corn. The cows want to eat feed corn, right? Did I get it right? I'm new at this, but look at this scripture. Romans 2:4, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to have to find a landing spot. Time is getting away from me. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance? Goodness leads us to repentance. Not our bad problems. Not our lack of abilities. Not our lack of finances. Not our piety. Gus and I are still trying to figure out what that is. We didn't grow up in those churches. And this definitely ain't one of those churches. We're not going to have no part of that. So look at this. This says, do you despise the goodness, the forbearance, and long-suffering of the Lord, knowing that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? If we'll embrace the goodness of God, what's the number one goodness of God? Now wait, let me help you, because probably only myself and Gus might have thought of this scripture. Some of you others, but I won't call you out. Do you want to know one of the goodness of God for every man in this room? Every man in this room. There you go. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. But do you understand that if we don't see that our wife is a good thing, then our harvest is going to be messed up? If we don't honor our wife, if we don't love our wife, and this is a big one, and I'll get off the soapbox. If we don't love our wife as Christ loved the church, who while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I can't wait for Heather to do everything right, and then I love her. I used me, okay? But men, how many of y'all know I'm really talking to you? Hallelujah. All right. We're just going to have to stop. There's so much more. I need to encourage you to go back over these passages. Meditate on them. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What are you sowing so that you have a good harvest? We're going to show you how to not only get good seed, where to get good seed, what does seed look like, what is good seed, what is bad seed. Why do you want to sow bad seed? Like I told you, if I told you all the things not to do, most of you go, yep, I don't do that. I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go with girls that do. Did I do that right? Yeah, I don't do any of those. So why do I have a bad harvest? Because I'm not sowing to the Spirit. I'm not sowing seeds of life. I have a choice. I have to learn the choice to choose. And I have to follow through to plant seed, the word of God, in my life. And we're going to learn what that looks like. All right? So can you come back again? That's why we call it church. We come every week. We just keep building. And this is going to be a nice long series. I may ask Pastor Mark to speak into it a little bit. Gus unknowingly spoke into it last week. If you missed Gus's week last week, he hit major part of this sowing and reaping thing on his message. You can get it on YouTube. Let's stand. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaac, can you text the other congregation and let them know? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Did you learn anything? All right. Do I need to give you a chance to repent? All right. I heard a yes. I heard at least one yes. All right. So let's do that together. Father, we do love you. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we thank you that you are opening our eyes to the deception. Lord, we want to sow to the Spirit. We want to sow of the Spirit. And we want to reap the harvest that you have planned for us. So we thank you for opening our eyes this morning. And Lord, we repent for being wrong and sowing wrong seed. We thank you for some crop failure in our lives, Lord. We need some crop failure in some things. We ask, Holy Spirit, would you quicken us so that we don't continue to sow those seeds? We thank you for the grace of God that as we clear out some harvest, as we clear out and turn over some bad ground, some bad seed, and we begin to till the ground so that we can sow good seed, so that we can walk in the fullness that you have for us, the promises. Father, we want to be, as your word says, if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. So help us. We thank you for the grace of God that we will be willing and we will be obedient to you, Lord, so that we may eat the good of the land that you have given to us. We thank you for the harvest. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, love somebody, encourage them, welcome them back. I don't know if next or if they're